So now we're going to have our readings from God's Word, and first of all, a reading from the Old Testament, I think, read by Annabelle.
Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Annabelle. And then we'll have our New Testament reading, please. I think Steve is going to read the account of the day of Pentecost. You might like to turn to this passage if you've got your Bible nearby, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Peter then stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Thank you very much, Steve. I guess one of the things that this last year has involved for many of us is lots of waiting. Perhaps waiting for vaccinations, waiting for a government announcement, waiting for the easing of lockdown, waiting for a haircut. I don't know whether the 17th of May, long awaited, has made a great difference to you. We continue to wait for the 21st of June, not knowing quite what to expect. And as our reading in Acts chapter 2 begins, it's a Sunday, the Jewish feast of Pentecost, and all the believers, it seems about 120 of them, according to chapter 1 and verse 15, they're all together in one place, something which it hasn't been easy for us to do this last year. Before Jesus had ascended back to heaven 10 days previously, in chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus had told the disciples to remain in the city in Jerusalem and to wait for the gift which his Father had promised, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus promised them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So they've been waiting. And now in chapter 2 and verse 2, after their 10 days of waiting, something begins to happen. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. We've had some very strong winds in the last few days, haven't we? And I think we're apparently in for more. Winds of over 70 miles an hour were recorded in Wales on Friday. One family had the roof blown off the house. We've been reminded perhaps of the power of the wind as we've looked at the trees being blown about and branches brought down. In fact, as we've tried to keep the indoors well ventilated because of COVID, maybe we're familiar with the sound of a violent wind filling our houses. In Acts chapter 2, we're told that this wind comes from heaven. This is God's doing. And in the original Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament, the word for spirit is the same word for breath or wind. So it's worth reflecting on the significance of the wind or breath or spirit in the Bible. If we think back to that great description of creation in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we're told that the spirit or breath or wind of God hovers over the waters. So the spirit of God is the creative power of God. In the creation account, God speaks and the world is created. And in the Bible, word and spirit often go together. My words now are coming to you on my breath. And the word of God comes to us by the spirit or breath of God. The scriptures, we're told, are God breathed, God spirited. So they have the life-giving, creative power of God. They're the words of God, the words of life. Or think of Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God breathes the breath of life into Adam. God is the great giver of life. The Spirit is the power of God to create and give life. When Jesus spoke to the Jewish teacher Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about the new birth, he likened the Spirit of God to the wind. Jesus said, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit." You should not be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. God's Spirit is powerful to give new life to whomever he wishes. Our reading from Ezekiel gives us a graphic vision of the power of God to give new life. God's people were in exile in Babylon and their situation seemed pretty hopeless. Ezekiel emphasized that great valley with the bones very dry. They represent the people of Israel. And Israel says, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off." And God doesn't disagree with that assessment. He doesn't say to them, "Oh, don't be so gloomy. Look on the bright side. It's not really that bad." Can these dry bones live? Well, from a human point of view, obviously not. Of course they can't. It's completely hopeless. But the sovereign Lord has other ideas. Ezekiel has enough faith to believe that if God wants to, he can give life even to this great valley of skeletons. It's as if God says to the people, "Yes, you're right. You are spiritually dead and lifeless and hopeless. But I'll open your graves and bring you out of them. I'll bring back Israel to the land. Your exile will be over. I'll do a resurrection miracle. I'll give you new life, a new hope, a new future." And it will be obvious that I, the sovereign Lord, have done it. Because how else could these dry bones live? God, the sovereign, powerful creator, can give new life. He can make the dead come alive. And notice that he does it through his word and spirit. It's as Ezekiel prophesies or preaches. He speaks the word of God and the spirit of God gives new life. Israel at the time of the exile seemed pretty hopeless. And those 120 or so disciples in Jerusalem must have felt like a tiny minority in the midst of the great crowds in the city for that festival of Pentecost. Would they dare to speak for Jesus? Would it make much difference if they did? We perhaps can feel daunted as Bible-believing Christians in modern Britain. Dare we speak for Jesus? What will the response be if we do? Maybe indifference? Perhaps even some hostility? Can these dry bones live? Might God grant a spiritual resurrection to our family or friends or neighbours? Pentecost promises us the life-giving presence and power of God. These dry bones can live. Not so long ago, the disciples had been hiding away for fear of the Jews. But now the resurrection of Jesus and the gift of the Spirit has transformed them. They boldly proclaim that God has been at work and has poured out his Spirit. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel goes public. The great mission of the church begins. And as Peter preaches the word of God, the Spirit of God gives new life. When Peter has preached his sermon or given his speech, describe it how you like, he proclaims the good news of the Lord Jesus. And we read that 3,000 people accepted the message and were baptized and were added to the church that day. That's church growth of 25 times in a single day. The good news of the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit are unchanged. They retain their life-giving power. Humanly speaking, the church's task is hopeless and impossible because people are spiritually dead. But as the word of God is said, the Spirit of God is still able to give life to whomever he wills. Even the most dry bones can live. There are no hopeless cases when the Spirit of God chooses to give new life. There can be dry bones as far as the eye can see, and just one believer sharing the word of God, and the Spirit can raise up a whole army. The crowd on that first day of Pentecost, they seem to have been Jews and converts to Judaism, as verse 11 says. But they were Jews from all over, from all points of the compass, from right around the Roman Empire. They'd all come for that pilgrim feast of Pentecost. They come from that long list of places in verses 9 to 11, which perhaps you were lucky you didn't have to read out. Parthians, Medes and Elamites. People from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and so on. And the apostles are miraculously enabled to speak the word of God to them in their native languages. There's a hint here that God means the good news to go to all the nations. And indeed, it has. It is. We're going to watch a short video now, which gives us an update of one of the mission projects which we support, Brickworks, run by John and Potty Spend, which is working to bring the good news of the Lord Jesus to the people of South Sudan.
Well, welcome to this quick update on the work that the Brickworks has been doing over the past few months and looking ahead to some of the things that Brickworks will be involved in going forward this summer. A new bishop has been elected for the Diocese of Ye. Bishop-elect Levi was chosen early in May, and his enthronement will take place in June. And everyone's very excited. Bishop Levi will be the third bishop of Ye. And will bring, I'm sure, new energy, new ideas, new vision for what the Diocese of Ye can be doing. On the other hand, things are not settled by any means. About a month ago, there was some violence just to the west of Ye, and over 1,000 people were displaced from their homes and came into the town of Ye for shelter at the cathedral. And the diocese has been trying to look after these people since then. The Martyr Clinic in Ye is as busy as ever, and of course it's also treating some of those displaced people who've come in from the villages. But what's very good news is that we received a donation earlier this year that is sufficient to pay for another cataract camp. And you'll remember we did a very successful cataract camp in 2020. The number of patients needing an operation has grown since then. The latest number we heard is I think they've reached 202 people needing a cataract operation. and the team will be coming from Juba, a team of six eye experts will be coming from Juba, the capital, to Yei on Monday the 24th of May. And we hope they'll be in Yei the whole week, and we hope they will complete at least 130, we think, operations. So it's important that people turn up. The only way of notifying them will be by a radio announcement. So we want those who need an operation to come to Yei, to be seen, and hopefully to be operated on. So do pray for the success of the cataract camp that will take place very soon now, next week. One other piece of very good news is that you remember, I think it was back in January, I told you that we received enough funding to be able to construct a 4-classroom block for the church primary school called Lazira in Yei. Construction started in January and was due for completion yesterday. And it's been completely on schedule. I'm just waiting now for news that it finished yesterday. I've been receiving photographs week by week, and it's been great to see the progress. Despite all the challenges of doing stuff in Yei, this contractor has managed to keep going. Those classrooms, we hope, will be very soon in use, replacing some of the very broken down temporary classrooms that will be falling down. They don't need much of a push, I think, to collapse them. So that's good news as well. Of course, large numbers of South Sudanese refugees are still living in Uganda, and there is no immediate sign of any return to South Sudan. So the need for the under three schools continues. Fortunately, the COVID restrictions in Uganda have been reduced again, and so our schools are operating normally. And we also have 10 teachers from under three schools undergoing some teacher training. This is run differently. This is done only during their holidays, so they don't actually lose time with the children. And all being well, by the end of 2022, another 10 teachers will be fully trained with the Diploma of Education. So life continues, things are pretty busy, and the one date maybe you'd like to note down for your diaries is that we made a decision at our recent trustees meeting that our AGM this year will be on Zoom Thursday the 16th of September 2021. It will be in the evening, probably only an hour from about 7:30 to 8:30. So if you'd like to make a note of that for your diary, that would be great, and we look forward to seeing you then.
Well, that's just one example. The good news of the Lord Jesus has gone to all the nations in the power of the Spirit, is going, but we play our small part in that by our giving and our prayers. But it's not just a matter of projects on the other side of the world. One of the important things to recognise about Pentecost is that it represents a new stage in the work of the Holy Spirit. In Old Testament times, it seems that the Spirit was particularly given to special individuals, often prophets, priests or kings, for a special task. But at the day of Pentecost, a new stage comes. In our quotation from the prophet Joel, which Peter says was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, God says, "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." So the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all God's people. It's for all who will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. For all those who will put their trust in Jesus. The apostles themselves actually were pretty ordinary people who'd been with Jesus. And the risen Lord Jesus empowered them with his Holy Spirit. Let's pray afresh that we might know the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit. Let's pray that he would give us new life, and that he might give that new life to our families and friends and neighbours. Let's pray that he might empower us to bear bold witness to the risen Lord Jesus where we are and wherever we might go. And may he add to our number daily those who are being saved. Amen.